make them pop. Big gun Brian Petrie giving out the lot. One is mortal, you know it won't miss. Gonna take a shot. Dog lock, that's the underdog. Yeah, they in the hunt. Send them home, that's KO or submission. Yeah, somebody done. Slime ball, yeah, that's the parlay. We gon' make it known. Pick them pod from MMA tapes. Yeah, let's get it gone.
Hey. Yeah, yeah. Woohoo! What's up with the what's up? Pick'em podcast this weekend, Emmett versus Topuria. The only bad news is, boys, is my beautiful six-year-old daughter. She turned six last Wednesday on the 14th, but we were on the beach. So having a party this week, this Saturday, starting when the fight starts. So bets, and that's in Kentucky, no live betting. So I got to place my bets on Friday, Saturday morning, whatever. And then no live betting for me, which stinks. But it's a nice little card we got here. I got some picks. I got some slime balls. I got some motherfucking green hammers. And we got, you know, it is what it is, bub. It is what it is. It is what it is. So, real quick, I'm getting a lot of messages. I got to start with saying my guy Chris Curtis cannot take a rest. He just says yes to everything, doesn't he? Right? He got offered. He said he was going to take a break. He wanted to get one more fight in before his baby was due in December. So maybe he was shooting October. So September's not too far off. But he did say he wanted to take some time off with the eye and everything. Scar tissue is building up on that eye. Anyway, he gets a really tough fight in Fluffy Hernandez, right? Fluffy's been on fire. He is an absolute animal in the grappling, the chain wrestling. Chris, obviously, he's only been taken out once, and he's very upset about it, right? So I'm thinking, in his mind, he goes, oh, okay. So they think Imanov can take me down? Well, fuck it. I'm going to go against this guy who basically fights like a Dagestanian who's not from Dagestan, and I'm going to stuff his takedowns. Incredibly tough fight. Chris, obviously, has the advantage on the feet. Fluffy has been hurt and knocked out before, but Hernandez is on a roll right now, and my guy Chris just does not know how to say no. This dude just does not know how to say no. Oh, you want me to fight, you know, homeboy? Cool. So I'm nervous about it like I am with all Chris fights, but we're gonna move forward. We're going to move forward, and that's just the way it is, babe. That's just the way it is. So we got the pick'ems. Again, I'm excited for these fights. Might not be super active on Twitter, because I'll be doing, you know, the birthday party with the kid or whatever, you know, with the family. We got a bounce house. You know, we got stuff going on, right? Hopefully, I'll be a little more active during the main card. But, you know, prelims, ABC, big. I love this card. I can't state enough how I love this card. It's actually, I love it so much that I got my own head a little bit about, like, selections and whatnot. So, I don't know. Like, usually when I do the show, so this is a warning. Usually when I do the show and I give you my mortal, my send him home, my dog, it's locked in, right? I'm not one of those guys that flip-flops. Unless the fight gets canceled, then you got to flip-flop a little bit. You know what I mean? I'm going to see how many times I can say flip-flop in this show. But, so I'm a little nervous about my locks. I went over this, you know, I did the pick'ems with Anik, which was probably the greatest Anik and Florian ever when he fell out of the chair. If you guys haven't seen it, it's hilarious. We recorded that on Monday. Unbelievable moment. But we picked seven fights, I think. So I've been, since Sunday, I've been really balls deep just in this card. But I'm second-guessing myself a little bit because I like it so much, right? I think I'm going to have a lot of plays. So that's possibly why I am second-guessing myself. But you know what? Second-guessing yourself is for a bunch of pussies. Huh? Let's just dive in, huh? Strut the beach. First fight of the night, Tashura Tyra, -300. Okay, these lines are probably gone up. I apologize. Versus Clayton Rodriguez. Clayton Rodriguez. And actually, this is I do the pronunciation a week on Anik and Florian. And this guy's first name is not just it's like Clayton Rodriguez. So I'm trying to get better at it. +250 underdog. Here's the deal. Spoiler alert. Tyra, who's been my money train, been my cash train, is a little high for me. And that's not the spoiler. The spoiler is he's not in the slime ball parlay. Right? Slime, he's usually slime forever. He's not. But
I'm locking them up, baby.
I'm going to go with Tyra Hayes, the mortal lock of the week. First fight, it's not the first fight of the night. They rearranged the card, but on my card, first fight of the night, we're going to go Tyra, mortal lock. I like this guy, Clemson Rodriguez. Young kid, has looked okay in the UFC so far. You know, he lost to CJ Vergara by split decision. He beat Shannon Ross by knockout. Shannon Ross, so chinny guy. You know, Tyra is a tyrant. Fuck yeah, man. This is the shit they need on TV with my fucking wordplay, bro. Tyra's great on the ground, right? And he's getting better. And you guys know I feel about Japanese MMA. I want there to be a fucking star. This kid could be a star. 13-0. I would like to see him get a little more aggressive when he's on the ground. He does have some great submissions, but I would like to see him get a little more aggressive. Obviously, on the feet, Clinton's going to have a little bit of an advantage here, but I like Tyra to get this fight to the ground. I like it to fuck him up on the ground and maybe even a finish here. That's my mortal lock. I don't know how I'm going to play it. Minus 300 for money line is steep. I'm sure it's gone up since I got these lines, but I like Tyra. I like Tyra by submission, man. I like a finish. I like him to get him out of there. So give me Tyra. Next up, skipping ahead. Jamal Emmers, minus 165 versus Jack Jenkins, plus 140. Early bet alert. This has been an early bet alert. If you watch the Anakin Florian, my final pick, we get to give a prelim pick. I pick Jack Jenkins over Jamal Emmers. Jamal Emmers has an incredible resume. He's 19-6. He's fought everyone. I believe he's got a win over Corey Sandhagen, right? Am I mistaken on that? Years ago, he's got a win over Corey Sandhagen. Yes, that's right. He beat him by decision. But his losses are only to like elite guys, right? I mean, Matt Merzick was his first loss. Don't know who that is. What is old Matty doing? 4-4. All right. That you know, we'll give you that. That's your third or second pro fight. Then you lose to Ray Trujillo, who's 27-37. This guy's been fucking everywhere, right? But then Thiago Moises got you, right, in round 5. You beat Sandhagen. You beat Chris Alvia, which doesn't say anything to me. You lost to Juliana Rosa by head kick on the Contender Series, a fight that you were looking pretty good up to the head kick. Then you rattle off 4 wins, get in the UFC. Those 4 wins are against some decent competition. Some decent comp. Giga gets you by split, very close fight. You beat Vince Cachoeira, which, cool. Lose to Sabatini, which a fight where you fight IQ was absolutely dog shit. You had him hurt, and you let him off the hook, and then he heel hooked you. Again, another wordplay. Why am I not on TV? And then you beat a 23-0 Russian by decision, which was, you know, this guy, I think, you know, 23-0, I think he was a little inflated with his record. That's just my opinion, you know? But you got a guy here in Jack Jenkins who I think could be the total package. He's a little older than I would like. He's 30 years old, 11-2, just kind of getting his feet wet in UFC. But he's shown some flashes. He's shown some really good things. Last fight, I thought he had a finish. He should have went for a finish. He didn't. That's going to come with experience. Jamal Emmers, solid dude, not easy to finish. He's been knocked out before. Good wrestler, good grappler, all those things. But I think Jack Jenkins is more athletic. I think his cardio is better. And I think he can negate some of the things Emmers does. So plus 140 is what I got it at. Again, check me if I'm wrong. Dog Lock City.
Hello? Okay, this is Dog.
And then Dog. Early bet Dog Jack Jenkins. I like him by decision here. Hopefully Jacksonville, Florida, these Florida judges do not cheat me out of my wins, baby, because Jack Jenkins, I think, is going to win this fight very close. Emmers has fought fucking the who's who. Looked good his last time out against the undefeated Russian, who I think maybe is super overrated. Jack Jenkins, I think, is a good test for him. This is a good test for Jack Jenkins. Sink or swim, baby. Sink or swim. I like this. Jack Jenkins, let's go. All right, next up, you got Trevor Peak. I mean, this fucking guy, right? Minus 125 versus Chepe Mariscal. Chepe's been around for a while, and I think it might be Cheapy Machine Gun Cheap. I don't know how to pronounce his name, right? The Machine Gun Mariscal. This dude, talk about Joel Emmers fighting everybody. This dude has fought everybody. Impressive record. I've never heard of this guy. He's fought in the LFA, so it's embarrassing that I haven't heard of him. And some of the names on this guy's record, it's a shame that I had not or should have paid more attention to heard him. Sean Soriano, right? went in the UFC twice, flopped twice, whatever, lost to him. Steve Garcia in the UFC, got knocked out. Johannes Brito in the UFC, lost by knockout in that fight as well. But he's got to win over Yuzis Salah in the UFC. Bryce Mitchell lost forever ago. Gregor Gillespie lost. And he's got a huge amateur record as well. This guy's been around forever, 2-2 in the LFA, and has fought a lot of good competition. You enter in Trevor Peak, my guy who's a wild man, who throws standing hammer fists, who's just absolutely fun to watch. Old Greenbow, Alabama pride. I don't know if that's from Forrest Gump. But this dude, who clearly cuts his own hair, doesn't give a fuck about anything, is straightforward and is trying to take you out. Take down the fence, not really there, right? But this dude can crack and he can knock you out. Look at his record, right? First fight, he won by knockout, but it got a no contest. Don't know what happened, right? Then he followed up by another knockout. Then he followed up by another knockout. By the way, these are all in the first round. Then he fought a guy named Ben Brewer. Way to go, Ben Brewer. You took him to the second round. Then you got knocked out. Then he knocked out David Robbins. Then he knocked out Warren Smith. All these guys. David Robbins had an okay record. Then he knocked out Kama Worthy, whoever kind of one knocks out. All first round. Malik Lewis, undefeated fighter in the contender series. He ground pounded him in the second round. Eric Gonzalez knocked him out in the first round in his UFC debut. This dude is just exciting. He seems like a good, wide-eyed country boy, ready to fucking scrap. He's going against a veteran here. I see people sprinkling and flirting with Mariscal here at the plus money, but I can't do that. So I had Tyra, mortal lock. I had Jack Jenkins, dog lock. Give me Trevor Peak as the fucking send him home, baby. This motherfucker is going to standing hammer fist Mariscal and KO him, kill him, right? That should be illegal in the UFC, how fucking violent that is. Give me all Trevor Peak, right? I'm in on this guy, right? Do I think he's the most high-level guy in the world? Nah. Do I think he's going to be champion? No. But he's fun to watch, and I like fun fighters. And that's my first three locks right there on the night. You know what I mean? Those are the ones that I'm locking up. Boom, boom, boom. I know Cody Brundage and Dumas are the first fight of the night, technically, according to Tapology. But bam, bam, bam. Three locks in a row for your boy. So, bet early, babe. I got to put these in early. You know what I mean? Next up, Zalgas Zhumagulov versus Joshua Van. Zalgas with this hair, man. It's just, oh, sorry. Hold on. Nope. They're switching on me. Let's go back to my card. That's not the fight I want. Tap of the Ricci, -125 versus Jillian Robertson, +105. This got bumped up a little bit. They've rearranged the bout order, whatever. I'm looking at Topology, but I'm going with my card right here, goddammit. I'm going with my card right here.
Dead air.
Sorry about that. All right, Tap of the Ricci versus Jillian Robertson. So I mentioned on the Anakin Florian podcast at Tatum Temple, long standing kind of family member of the show. Puts in my bets on BetMMA tips. Super sharp. We have a side wager on this bet or on this fight because she's all in on Jillian Robertson. And I'm not necessarily all in on Tabitha Ricci, but I do like Tabitha Ricci. I think she's going to be harder to take down for Jillian Robertson. I think if the fight gets to the ground, I think it's going to be interesting because Tabitha Ricci likes to fight on the ground. But Jillian Robertson is good off her back and good on top. Her jiu-jitsu is great. She does grappling every chance she gets outside of her fighting in the UFC. 12-7, not the best record, but she's fought fucking everybody. Ricci, besides Manafort, hasn't really been in there with high level people. This is a really good test for her. And I like that Jillian went down to 115 from 125. And she's going to have the size advantage over Ricci, who's kind of a smaller, her nickname is Baby Shark. But Tabitha Ricci's arms are this big. So I don't see Jillian Robinson getting an arm bar. I think Ricci is going to be able to do some good things on top. Frustrate Jillian. I think this is going to be a close fight. Again, Jacksonville judges, don't fuck me. All right, let's get a dub here. I like Tabitha Ricci. I'm not running to window to bet it. Obviously, I have a side bet with Tatum Temple because she's just sharp. And I went against her. So it's only right for her to be able to make some money off me. If I'm wrong and ignored her advice like an idiot. But I like Tabitha Ricci here. I like Tabitha Ricci to win by decision. I think Jillian Robertson's good. She's inconsistent, though. She looks good, and then she falls off. She looks good, and then she falls off. Let's see if she can put some consistency together before I run to the window to better. But Tabitha Ricci, Baby Shark, I like what I see. Next up, Mantoush Rambeki. They did this name on the end of California too. And this fucking guy's name, John, rattled this guy's name off like it was no big deal. Loik Razanov. Yeah, okay. Razanov, whatever. Razanov. We'll go Razanov. Matus Rambeki versus Loik Razanov. This fight's interesting here. I'm kind of high on Rambeki. The one thing I don't love is he debuted in the UFC against Nick Fiore, who we just saw get absolute fucking butchered by Chase Hooper, and Rambeki couldn't finish him. And Fiore had some moments in that fight, right? His only loss, Rambeki, is by knockout. Forever ago, 2014, by a guy named Pali Kielik, who's 9-7. But this dude just looks like a guy that can kick your fucking head off, right? And then you look at his record. So I dove deep in his record. He's got some good wins. You know, I know he's fighting kind of over there in a lot of these Polish, Eastern European scenes. These guys have really inflated records. You know, some Brazilian guys go out there. But, you know, Magomedov, is 12-4. I believe this guy is fighting. Where did he end up at? Oh, really? Okay, so there must be too many Magomedov. This is not a guy. I thought this was a PFL guy. He's not. Anyway, that guy's a decent record. I actually like Rambeki. And then Loik, which I believe how you pronounce his name, this guy did come from the PFL, made his UFC debut against Esteban Ribovitz. Looked okay. Looked all right. He's aggressive. He's got good grappling. But I don't think that's going to matter against a guy like Rambeki, right? So you got Natan Schulte, who he lost to in PFL, excuse me. And this is a guy who's very similar, in my opinion, to a Rambeki. It's just that he has better, Rambeki has better grappling. And Loik kind of fell apart in that fight, right? He didn't get his game going. And I don't think he's going to get his game going right now. Rambeki's arms are this big. He's a wild fucking man. So they might cancel each other out. That's the old saying. Two grapplers canceling each other out, blah, 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 blah. However, I like Rambeki here. I'm going to slime him up as well.
Okay, this is dog.
I'm going to slime him up. Yeah, he's slimed up because I like a minus 150. I didn't give out the lines. Minus 150 versus plus 130. Rambeki, minus 150 favorite. Kind of low enough. Kind of wanted to juice slime ball this week since I didn't give out one last week. And you got to give out winners. And in my opinion, that's a winner, Rambeki. Matus Rambeki should get that done. Probably by decision. I'd imagine decision. Next up, run by Randy Brown, minus 245 versus Wellington Turman, plus 205. Old Wellington Turman coming down to 170 pounds. So if you're an MMA dork like me, when Wellington Turman made his UFC debut, he had some hype. He had a little bit of a track record of being a guy that, well, we should keep an eye out. You know, 185 pounds. Didn't live up to his potential. And chin issues, cardio issues plagued him, right? I mean, it is what it is. So he's training with Gilbert. Gilbert, sorry. Jeez. He's training with Alex Pereira and, you know, out there. And he's... oh my God, why can't I think of the fucking... I just had a... who is the fucking... oh my God, who did Jamal Hill just beat for the title? Glover Teixeira. What the fuck, Brian? Training Glover Teixeira and Alex Pereira. Wow, that was a complete brain fart there. Training those guys in Connecticut. He lost his last time out. Low volume, low takedowns. Petroski landed 8 on him. Yeah, he landed none over Sirkunov, but he got the sub. Must have dropped Sirkunov, but I don't remember that fight. He landed 2-1 Alvey, which is pretty good. Alvey, he now struck Alvey as well, showed a little bit of chin, but knocked out by Bruno Silva, knocked out by Andrew Sanchez. Split the shiver in Carl Robinson. Marcus Perez, he beat as well. He landed 2 takedowns. Not the most active takedown guy. That's how he's got to beat Randy Brown. He thinks, I'm going to 70, I'm going to be the big dog in the block. Randy Brown's huge, 170 pounds. Randy Brown, though, is stagnant off his back. He does nothing. He's a real dead fish. He just lays there and fucking takes it, okay? Close guard, rides the round out, maybe tries to pop back up. Wellington Turman's only way to win, in my opinion, is to take Randy down. I think Randy styles him on the feet. I think Randy, you know, pot shots him. I think the range, the length, all this is going to be in Randy's favor. Randy's coming off a loss. He got finished by Jack Della Molina. A little embarrassed by that. So he's coming out. He's coming out confident. Or not confident. He's coming out aggressive. Coming out angry, right? He had a little heat. He had a little sparkle to him on that Madalena fight before that. All the wins he had. But then he dropped that. Now he wants to come back in a winnable fight. He's a pretty good-sized favorite here. Only problem is Wellington Turman, even though he doesn't have a great chin, neither is Randy Brown. And if Wellington Turman has learned anything from Pereira and he lands something hot on Brown's chin, I'm worried. I'm also worried about if Wellington takes him down and smothers him, but Wellington doesn't really go for a lot of takedowns. I just looked at the stats. Also, cutting down from 185, he's not the biggest 85er, but he's not the smallest. So I'm interested to see that weight cut. Give me Randy Brown.
Hello?
Oh, nope. Hey. Nope. Sorry. Wrong button. Little rusty. Slime forever. Slime ball cannon number two. Randy Brown. Let's fucking go. All right. Big boys. Justin Toffa, -170 versus Austin Lane, +145. And I'm not going to fucking mince words. I'm getting out the green hammer before this even starts, baby. Justin Toffa hasn't fought in a while. This is a guy who... To me, he's really high in the card now. They moved him up. So this is a guy, well, Austin Lane is from Jacksonville. This is a guy who's boom or bust. Knocked out Parker Porter, knocked out Harry Hunsaker. Big fucking whoop. Lost a decision to Jarrett Vandera, which is a bad loss. Got outstruck. Didn't get taken down once. Just got outstruck, got outworked. That was a while ago. That was two years ago almost. Lost to Carlos Felipe by split decision. I thought he won that fight. Felipe somehow got it out, knocked out Juan Adams, and then got knocked out by Jorgen De Castro on his debut, which, you know, whatever. So consistency hasn't been there. He hasn't been the most active. Knocking out Parker Porter, he looked great. Obviously, Parker Porter's game plan was to take him down. Toffa's younger brother just debuted, looked like dog shit. I lost money on that. So what am I doing with the green hammer? You're right. What the fuck am I doing with this? But the way I see it, the way my brain is working is Justin Toffa is going to knock out Austin Lane. And that's only -130. So that is the green hammer. Justin Toffa by knockout. Actually, I don't think it's -130. Hang on a second. Let me put this down. I think it's a little lower than that. It's not plus money. I know that. Yeah, -125. Justin Toffa by knockout, -125. Again, remember, the green hammer is a multi-unit prop play. We're not looking for giant plus numbers. However, I don't feel good about giving that. I feel like that's such an easy way out. Every Tom, Dick, and Harry is going to give that out. So that's green hammer number one. Another green hammer, two green hammer play, round one, +130. Austin Lane got knocked out by Greg Hardy. He got knocked out his falling fight after that. The guy is 6'6", keeps his chin in the air. Toffa hits like a fucking truck, has some time off. Hopefully he's rejuvenated. Hopefully he comes in shape. Now, I do have the right to revoke these green hammers if this fucking guy misses weight again. If he misses weight again, actually, you know what? No, fuck that. I'm not revoking shit. If he misses weight again, that's just more power, right? But Austin Lane is 6'6". Maybe I'm underestimating Austin Lane. I've looked at his fight since the Greg Hardy fight. He's very athletic. He's from Jacksonville. He's good to have the crowd. But Justin Toffa throws bombs. So Justin Toffa by knockout, -125, green hammer. Another green hammer play, which had two hammers. Justin Toffa by knockout, round one, +130. Not the juiciest play in the world. Maybe don't multi-unit prop the +130. Or you can, like me, like a wild man. But that's how it's going to go down. Now, I know that seems like such a basic fucking bitch bet. And it is. It is. My daughter could have looked at the records and go, well, I guess Toffa won by knockout. I'm not proud of it. I'm better than that. I'm not proud of it. But you got to give out winners. You know, you got to give out winners. Next up, Zalgas Dzhumagulov versus Joshua Van, newcomer. Joshua Van, 21 years old. Zalgas -180, Van +155. I like Joshua Van. I like him. I think he's going to be good. But coming against a guy like Zalgas, who's got a little bit of heat, got a little bit of a shine now, right? Got knocked up by Manel Cox. He fought a completely terrible wrong game plan. Should have beat Jeff Molina very close. Jeff Molina outstruck him. He landed more takedowns. You know, we can live with that. I thought he definitely beat Charles Johnson. He outstruck Charles Johnson and he landed a takedown. Both those last losses were split decision. This is a split decision, losing guy here. Joshua Van, young kid, debut. He's going to come out, I feel like, and he's going to throw some crazy shit. Zalgas is sturdy. And Zalgas keeps getting fights canceled. This guy's hungry to win. My only concern now, this will be the third fight canceled for him, or this is the second fight. This will be his third fight rebooked within a month, is hopefully he's not doing all this weight cutting, right? Hopefully he's not really getting down in weight, because that's going to scare me, because then he's just going to be burnt out. He's just going to be like, I just want to fight. I don't care if I win or lose. Just let me cut weight and fight. You know what I mean? And Joshua Van is an explosive young kid, 7-1. Decent little record. I think his time is not now. I think it's Zalgas' time. I think it's the haircut's time. So again, slime again for Zalgas. I was all over him 2 weeks ago. I was all over him last week against Felipe Burns. I'm just all over this guy's haircut, man. It's fucking gorgeous. He can't lose, right? There's no way Zalgas will lose 4 in a row. And if it's by split decision, I'm going to fucking lose my mind. But that is a bet I'm very confident in. Next up, you got Neil Magny, -165 versus Phil Rowe, +140. Phil Rowe, so I think I got to kind of choose my words carefully here, because I am affiliated with the Anik and Florian podcast. John Anik works with these fellow fighters, so I guess I have to choose my words carefully, because I don't want what I say to reflect John. I want to make it known my opinions are my own. But Phil Rowe acting kind of like a little bit this week, complaining, saying the commentators were weenies because they mentioned his weight miss. He was upset because they used his mom's story and he won by knockout. He didn't get a bonus because he missed weight. And he just seemed like a little bit of a sensitive soul, a guy who's complaining just a little too much, in my opinion. Right? I think he's a good fighter. I think he has no personality. I think he's dry as shit. I follow him on Instagram, and maybe that's like his bit. Maybe that's like his thing. He just seems dry as fuck. And +140, Kenny took him. And that's a good play, because Neil Magny looked like dog shit his last time out, but he looked really good against God, my brain is just not. Daniel Rodriguez, D-Ready, finished him. Neil Magny, it all depends what Neil Magny shows up. Neil Magny shows up, wants to grapple, wants to get this fight to the ground, and use his length and really bust this guy up in a clinch. I love it. Phil Rowe gassed his UFC debut. He's obviously working on it. He's working on his grappling. He is crafty off his back. I don't see a submission happening from Phil Rowe. I see this being a very competitive fight because they're both built the same. Phil Rowe does have good striking, but it's very he doesn't throw enough for me. Like, let's look at his volume here, right? His volume's just not there. Nico Price out-volumed him 110 to 63, and Nico got taken down one time, but he got knocked out in the third round. Jason Witt got knocked out in the second round. But in that fight, Jason Witt landed 4 takedowns. Phil Rowe only landed 8 strikes. Phil Rowe against Ron Cosi landed 46 strikes. Phil Rowe, where he completely gassed against Gabe Green, who outworked him, he landed 42 strikes. The guy's volume's not there. Neil Magny has never had a cardio issue and will throw strikes. I think volume's the key here. I'm rocking with Magny. That could be a mortal lock. That could be a slime ball piece here. People do like Phil Rowe. He's getting better. He's really working into his UFC career. But a win over Jason Witt, a comeback win over fucking Nico Price, a fight you were losing, doesn't impress me much. You beat Neil Magny, I'll take back everything I said, because Neil Magny at this point in his career is a benchmark guy. You run through him, you look good through him, then you're getting some bigger names. But I don't see that happen. I see Neil being Neil, doing Neil things, getting a Neil win. Let's go. One of the better fights of the card, a lot of people are interested in, is Brendan Allen, -175 versus Bruno Silva, +150. Picked this on the Anik and Florian. I picked Bruno Silva. Still rocking with Bruno Silva. Am a little nervous, though, because Brendan Allen is a guy who I fade quite a bit. He does have a chin issue. He's been knocked out by Sean Strickland, who knocks no one out. Chris Kearse got him. He's been wobbled in fights before, and Bruno Silva hits harder than all those guys. Bruno Silva cracks. Not the fastest guy in the world, but his timing is great. His aggression is very, very good. Even stuff that doesn't look painful, he's so dense. Like, the kicks he throws, they hurt. You know what I mean? It's not the perfect technique in the world, but it hurts. Brendan Allen is good on the feet, has good cardio, really picks it up later in the fight, And his ground game is great. He submitted Andre Munez, who I know gassed, but he still fucking submitted him, warmed down. I didn't see that happening. Brandon Allen wants to get this fight to the ground. I don't think his takedowns are that great. I think Bruno Silva, not think, he has 71% takedown defense. That's going to be the fight. Can Allen get the fight to the ground? Can Silva have good cardio? And can Silva land a big shot? There's a lot of ifs. There's a lot of whats. There's a lot of maybes. When that happens, you go dog. And I'm taking dog at plus 150. This is a fight that I'm probably going to bet. Not probably. Am going to bet. And I will bet Bruno Silva by knockout as well. It's the only way I think he gets it done. No double chancing for me. No double dipping for me. It's Bruno Silva. Bruno Silva by knockout because he could win a decision for sure. I just think his power and Brandon Allen's knack from not being able to recover from big shots is going to plague him here. Yeah, you know, Allen's still a young guy. He's riding high on a great win streak here. He'll be back. He may even be top five talent at one point, but he's still pretty young. And I just think this is going to be a tough matchup. And hopefully Bruno Silva is coming riding high after the Tavares fight. That's all I care about. Because if Bruno Silva looks flat like he did against GM3, then we in some trouble. That's why I didn't lock him up, just because of that potential. But I do like Bruno Silva in this fight quite a fair bit. And I have a feeling I will get people that disagree with me. And that's fine. You can disagree with me all you want. Who cares? Let's go. That's what fucking life's about. All right, next up you got David Onama versus Gabriel Santos. Onama plus 195, Gabriel Santos minus 230. Santos getting this huge number on his debut that he lost, but he lost against a tough guy, Lauren Murphy. David Onama, he got wrapped up in that James Krause shit, looked terrible against Nate Landwehr. I think he went out to Colorado. You know, I think he left and went out to Colorado. Onama's biggest issue, and I'm all with Onama. We did this on the Indican Florian as well, so I'm rocking with Onama. I like the dog money. Not overly confident. Gabriel Santos is a very aggressive dude. David Onama is big, can hit hard. I think his ground game is a little underrated. I think if he can work to his feet, if he gets taken down, and he has good cardio, I think that's going to be a problem for Santos. On the feet, though, I think it could be a problem with Onama, who gets a little comfortable at times and is very, very hittable. He can throw. He's got good volume, but I don't think he's at world-class knockout power. I don't really think Santos does either. So if it stays on the feet, you really got to push a pace if you're David Onama or Santos. I think it's going to be a high-level fight. I think whoever's cardio is better is going to win. And, you know, I think Onama has – I think he's getting slept on just a little bit. I think this guy is going to be, you know, I think he's good. I think he's good, and I think he's going to do some good things in this fight. Tough matchup, though. Gabriel Santos coming in, losing a fight, and getting a 2-1 spread, 2-1 money line. Golly, that is tough stuff. All right, and then Cody Brundage, I'll really quick go through this fight. Cody Brundage versus Sequeaks Dumas. Go, Cody. Both these fighters aren't UFC quality. Dumas? I think Dumas, right? It's probably not Dumas. Dumas, plus 155, looked terrible his last time out. He has no cardio. He has no ground game. Cody Brundage trains with a good camp. His cardio is pretty lackluster as well, but he has ability to knock you out and take you down. He's been in the game for a lot longer. I think he's well-rounded on Dumas, and I like Cody Brundage here. I think he wins. I think he probably gets a finish, TKO submission, something like that. He's got some good chokes. So give me Cody, and let's not talk about that fight anymore. All right, next up, Manny Hibas. Co-main event, Manny Hibas. Minus 180 versus Macy Barber, plus 155. I went the dog side here. I went Macy Barber. Kenny Florian put extra unis on Amanda Hibas. And I can see why. Hibas is landing a lot of takedowns lately. Macy Barber gives up a lot of takedowns. Macy Barber does pretty good work off her back, not like submission-wise, but she lands strikes. She works her way to the feet. She makes you uncomfortable a little bit. Hibas does have good jiu-jitsu. Her cardio checks out. The chin doesn't. Macy, her best weapon when she had all the hype in the world before the hype went away, her best weapon was get on top and rain down blows. If she somehow can get on top of Hibas, get mount, get side control, get something to land strikes on me and Hibas, that's going to be huge. That's Macy's weapon. She's working on her feet. Her cardio is great. Her punches are a little pushy, and then when she gets tagged and she goes ultra aggressive, I like for her to clean that up. But give me Barber as a dog still. I'm nervous about it because I respect Ken Flo. I respect the hell out of Ken Flo. And he put extra unis on Hibas. So obviously it gives me a pause. But I just think Macy's going to squeak out a decision. I think it's going to be one of those decisions. If she doesn't squeak out a decision, she's going to get completely 30-27 for sure. So it's either one way or the other. And I'm a gambler, man. So let me give me the dog. All right, main event. Josh Emmett plus 270 versus Alila Topuria minus 325. Crazy number. I did not think this would be this high. A lot of people love Topuria. I have faded Topuria most of his UFC career, if not all his UFC career. I was on him against Damon Jackson. But besides that, I picked Bryce Mitchell against him. Yeah. I just get my way because he's in Spain a lot of the time, and Spain isn't known for MMA, whatever. Josh Emmett has been a steady guy in this division, knocking everyone out. Good cardio, toughness on point, big, big power, good wrestling, good team. A little bit older. He's doing a quick turn after that annihilation of Yair, and he's getting Topuria. Now, the big thing that I see when people cap this fight, I see people all over the board. Kenny picked Emmett, I picked Topuria. I'm rocking with Topuria. Don't love the number. It's very high. But when people break this fight down, they're going, Emmett has the power. And Topuria got dropped by Chaya Herbert at 155. But Emmett hits harder than Chaya Herbert. That's what we're seeing here. Topuria's defense, can his chin hold up? Topuria is also incredibly fast. He's getting better. I think he took the Chaya Herbert fight and was maybe a little unprepared for that fight. I'm not going to make excuses for the guy. I think he was like, yeah, I'll fight at 55. Let me just get a paycheck and get experience. I don't think he really, you know, whatever. And he finished that fight by knockout, by the way. He looked strong and dominant against Bryce Mitchell. I know he had the flu, you know, whatever. Arkansas was strong. He had the flu, whatever happened. But I was there live for that, and he ragdolled Bryce Mitchell. He's a short, compact guy at 145. Striking and speed are on point, but Emmett's timing and power are there. And I like to see if Josh Emmett can mix in some wrestling. He hasn't been doing that much. I feel like he's a little angry and embarrassed by the Yair fight, so he's hopping right back in. The Yair fight where he took probably the most beating besides maybe the Jeremy Stephens fight, and coincidentally enough, he didn't get hurt. This guy's always getting hurt. Didn't get hurt, popping right back in there against Topuria. I think all the value. If you're a value boy, if you're a fucking dog hunter, I think all the value's on Josh Emmett. I just cannot fade Topuria. I can't be on the wrong side of this guy again, even with the number. It's a pride thing. I'm still trying to figure out a way I should bet this fight. Topuria by decision, Topuria by finish. Josh Emmett has nails in there. I can see Topuria just bouncing him around for five rounds. I can see Josh Emmett winning by knockout in the fourth round. I can see this happening multiple different ways. But Topuria is super, super highly skilled. He's very confident in himself. He's a confident young man, which I also like. But give me Topuria. I don't like the number. I was a little hesitant right there, as you saw, but give me Topuria. All right. So recap real quick. Mortal Lock, Tashura Tyra. Send him home, Trevor Peak. Dog Lock, Jack Jenkins. Green Hammer, Justin Taffa, by knockout, minus 125. By KO round one, plus 130. In the slime ball parlay, we got Zalgas Dzhumagulov, that fucking hair, baby. We got Rude Boy, Randy Bowner, we got Matheus Rambecki, that's plus 272. I wanted to get to over 300. I almost popped a fourth in there. I almost threw up a fourth. But the extra a la mo that I give out sometimes, the extra slime, sometimes they don't work out. So I want this to win. I didn't give you anything last week. The week prior to that, I gave you a stinker. We're winning a slime ball this week, baby. We're fucking winning it. All right, that's it. That's the show. Thanks for rocking with me. Tight 40. I like that. A tight 40. Just booked my hotel. Got tickets for UFC Nashville, August 5th. So I'll be in Nashville that weekend. If you boys are, I'll be talking about leading up. We got a little bit. August 4th, we get in. Me and my wife are going for the weekend. August 4th is my birthday. I'll be 37 August 4th. Come to Nashville that weekend. Have a drink with me. I don't drink, but I'll buy you a drink for my birthday. We'll have some dinner. We'll talk MMA. It'll be fun. Saturday, fights. Corey Sanhagen, Umar Nurmagomedov. Okay. Whenever I can't talk anymore, it's time to go. So I don't embarrass myself. It's time to go. You guys are the best. Brian Peachy MMA on all social medias. Hit that fucking subscribe button. March in the 1400. I said that right. Let's go, baby.
Let's make some picks with our man Brian Peachy. Motherfuckers. Perfect week for Brian Peachy yet again. Motherfuckers.
Let's make some dicks with our man, Brian Patriot.